Hey, folks, human trafficking in the United States has never been more of a problem than it is today. I got a good one for you today. A girl's going home. She's walking home from work. She's on an isolated street when she is quickly, suddenly confronted by a man who obviously wants to take her. Watch carefully. That's not going to happen. You see, she's prepared with the right tools and the right training to make a difference. I want you to stop and think about what could have, would have happened to her if she was not prepared and trained with the right tools. Folks, I can't talk to you enough about the importance of owning your own security with all that's going on. And this video is perhaps one of the best ones I've seen to drive this point home. And folks, if you have daughters or wives or everybody, it's not a male-female thing. This can happen to anybody. And unfortunately, it is happening to a lot of people. But let's look at this again. So if you notice it's nighttime, she's walking by herself. Suspect jumps out of the car and he is on her before she can even respond. Oh, but wait, she did respond. And she responded exactly the way her training taught her to respond. Now, I want to talk to you about three things that are really important for all of us to get. One is before the incident. Let's talk about that. In the times we're living in now, maybe it's not such a good idea for a single person, woman or male, to be walking down an isolated street in the nighttime. Why is that? Well, because as was demonstrated in this case, you can quickly become a target. Wouldn't it have been a win if none of this ever happened? Wouldn't it have been a win if she didn't have to use her training and her tool to protect herself? So before the incident, let's think about some things. If I have to walk home late at night or during the night, maybe the best thing to do is to get an Uber. Oh, I can't afford an Uber. Okay, maybe you have a family member, friend that could come with or come pick you up. Well, I can't afford that or it's inconvenient. Well, folks, let me just put it to you straight. You're going to have to decide that your security matters and you're going to have to make sacrifices to make sure you're safer. So before the incident, maybe it's not a good idea to be alone. Maybe it's not a good idea to be walking down an isolated street. Number two, during the incident, I got to tell you, in my humble opinion, she did about everything right, except for a couple important things. Number one, she saw a vehicle pull up and park occupied by a single male, but she continued on her path. Could she have immediately identified, oh, this could be a problem, and turned and rocked the other way? Because looking at the physical condition of this man, it doesn't look like he might be able to chase her if she was beginning to run. So could that have been avoided even in the incident itself? Yeah, maybe. But she crosses the street, which is perhaps the right thing. He's on the right side. She's crossing to the left side. The problem is distance here, folks. We had a motto in the Secret Service that danger equals distance. In other words, the closer you are to a threat, the more dangerous that threat can become with a lot of different practices that an assailant might be able to use. So she crosses, and now as we saw, boom, it happens like that. And folks, the reality of a robbery or any serious incident is everybody always says afterwards they happen so fast, which means we're proactive in our thinking. Okay, so back to the incident. She didn't cross over, or she did cross over. She didn't turn around, but now the subject's on her. So she's in the fight. Notice what she does. We're going to walk through this very carefully. The car pulls up, stops. He's out. Now watch really carefully how quickly he's on her. Look at the stance, folks. That stance is that I'm going to tackle you. I'm going to pick you up and throw you in the car. And there's not much because of size that you're going to be able to do about it. But folks, she doesn't rely on size. She relies on tools and training. And watch what happens. She gets distance. That enables her to use the tool that she's trained with effectively. She establishes the distance. She's able to get access to that tool. And now, game over. At the end of the process, the attacker is no longer the attacker. The attacker is the one that needs help. Establish distance, established a good access ability to the tool, and then utilize the tool to fix the problem. Now, for many of you out there, that you may say, oh, well, I have that tool all the time. But I want you to notice that we're in the confrontation, that it wasn't just about having the tool. It was about how you used the tool. Because quite frankly, as big as that guy was, had he bear hugged her, she likely wouldn't have been able to access the tool, which would have changed the entire scenario, because now the attacker has her and the tool. Folks, let me drive this point home. If you have that kind of tool and you're not regularly training under some level of pressure, then you're likely under pressure, not going to do well. So think about it. Do you have it? Where is it? Are you training with it? And you know, a lot of folks get wrapped up of, well, I have to go to the place where you train tools to use the tool. And that's just not true. You can train that in your house. You know, you can train physical fitness. You can train, dry exercises. You can train a lot of things in your house. But it goes back to point number one. Are you committed to preparing to defend yourself? Because if the answer is no, you got a problem. Okay, so we talked about the before, we talked about the during. Let's wrap it up with the after. Now you got a problem because you've had to demonstrate your abilities to defend yourself. You've had to actually do what you hoped and prayed you never have to do. And now here you are. So what do you do? Well, the bottom line is we're going to access and call 911. Responding officers are going to come down immediately, hopefully, maybe not. The question now is he a threat still? If he's a threat still, do you want to approach him to render first aid? That's a tactical decision. You've got to make that call. You've got to decide. If law enforcement's close, the answer I would advise would be wait for law enforcement to get there. But let me be clear. There is a certain amount of responsibility once you've taken actions like that to provide care. But let me be very clear. That care can be calling 911. That care can be holding off, calling for others to come around to help you, because that care can be dangerous and can cost you your life. And remember, just because a person is down does not mean that they're out. There are many instances where people have been considered down and out of the fight, and yet they're back. So be careful with that. Now the police show up. What do we do now? Well, let me advise you, if you haven't thought through this already, that having liability insurance in this world is probably very, very important towards your financial and civil sustainability. So that would be a good time to consider getting that. They have protocols usually that come with the insurance that tells you exactly what to do. Let me caution you, there are some insurances that are better than others, like in any market. But let me really encourage you folks to think about what would I do afterwards. And that goes to the core of what we train. You see, we know by research that about 90% of the skills needed in an actual confrontation are mental. You've got to be able to think. You've got to be able to execute. But then you also need to think through the aftermath. And so after the conflict, remember, we talked about what happens before, we talked about what happens during, and after the conflict, I would highly recommend that you rehearse that. that when officers arrive, you explain to them in very, very basic form what happened. Because remember, they're coming knowing nothing. They didn't have this video when they showed up. Fortunately, the video was captured, and that's to your benefit. But there may not be a video, so it's important. You hear this a lot from me. You've got to be able to articulate not your feelings, but the facts. This is what happened. The man drove up, parked, suddenly burst out of the car, was saying X, Y, Z, came at me. I warned him to stay away. I did what I did because I was in fear for my life. At that point, folks, it may be time to get additional help or counsel before you say a whole lot more. And by the way, most law enforcement officers are trained that way. There's some stuff I could tell you about how your brain functions in a crisis and how you really do need about 2 full sleep cycles to get all your memories back, and because you've been through trauma, and trauma has a way of really influencing people. So I hope this is helpful. I went a little bit longer on this one today, but I hope and pray this helps you. Please, folks, please watch carefully these videos. Please think about how you'd put them into practice. And by the way, if you would help me, please, by liking, subscribing, sharing. YouTube's not overly happy with me. They don't like a lot of the content that I put out, and I'm trying to play by their rules. It's their platform. But at the same time, every person needs this training. So I hope and pray this is helpful for you. Like, share, subscribe. Obviously, you can go over to Rumble as well, at Lionheart Skills. We're trying to diversify the platform, but you could really help me a lot if you would, by, as you see these videos, if you find value, please like, share, subscribe, because I'm told that that helps YouTube to value the videos and not be quite as restrictive as they've been with me. So hope this helps. Please stay safe out there and think about the things we talk about, because you matter to a lot of people. God bless you. Stay safe.